So I want to say good day to everyone and welcome to the senior care portion of our podcast. My name is Tia Briscoe. I work for Catholic Charities. I'm so happy about my first guest, Mr. Tim Shearer. Yes, Mr. Shearer is the assistant administrator at the Caritas House Assistant Living Facility of Catholic Charities. Thank you so much, Mr. Shearer, for joining me today to speak about senior care to help the average person understand assisted living and the process of preparing yourself and your loved one to go to like an assisted living or nursing home facility. So thank you again so much for speaking with me today regarding that.
Thank you.
I just want to let our audience know that I'm definitely not an expert in senior care, but I just wanted to be a part of the conversation so I can learn more. It is one of the most difficult decisions in a person's life. Should we move mom, dad, grandpa, grandma into a living facility or care facility? And aside from the emotional challenges, it can be an overwhelming process if you're not prepared. You have such questions like, what do we need to know? What information do we have that will help us through these challenges of such an overwhelming process? What should we look for? And that's what we'll be talking about today with Mr. Tim. Again, thank you, Tim, for joining me to address some of these issues.
Thank you.
So, Tim, can you give us a brief background of your expertise in this area?
Yes, so I started out with Catholic Charities in the long-term care business at St. Elizabeth Rehab and Nursing. I started in the rehab department, folks getting occupational and physical therapy. Worked there for a few months, and then I transferred to the admissions office where I worked with families and residents that were just starting out the journey of whether it was short-term rehab or long-term care. So the items we will be going over today are many of the items that I talked through with those families and residents when I was working in the admissions department. I am a graduate of the Erickson School of Aging at UMBC, and I have spent many more years at St. Elizabeth and Caritas House and here on the Jenkins Senior Community.
Wow. That will definitely make you an expertise in this area. Thank you so much. For that, I can understand definitely how you can help us just give some people some information to get started on the basic questions of understanding on what senior care is and how we can help someone to get their parents into a senior living facility or nursing home. So we're just going to start with some basic questions for understanding. So what is the difference between an assisted living facility and a nursing home?
Well, many of the folks that ask themselves this question, it's probably the first time they have thought about this. So, so you're not alone in thinking this. The difference between assisted living and a nursing home is about someone's needs, about how many activities of daily living does a person need help with? Okay. Do they need help with bathing themselves? Do they need help with medication administration? Mm-hmm. Do they need help with transferring from their bed to a wheelchair or just standing up and using a walker? So, assisted living, it's in the name. If you need assistance with just a few of those items, then most likely there's an assisted living out there that can help you. And assisted livings range in the services they provide. Nursing homes have a minimum threshold. Okay. Think about it that way, where all nursing homes have to provide the same minimum care, which is not minimum, it's a lot of care, you know, that folks may need. They do a lot of services, but nursing homes have to provide the same level, at least the same level of care. In some cases, nursing homes can do specialty services like maybe dialysis or a certain kind of rehabilitation or a respiratory therapy. But in general, they have a minimum threshold of services and care they have to provide. Where assisted livings range a little bit more, and obviously, if you're at the top threshold of an assisted living, you're kind of entering the nursing home care services world. So when you're thinking about what you may need or what a loved one may need, you think about these things. You think of how many services, how much you need help, what activities of daily living you need help with, and you weigh based off of what the nursing home or the assisted living that you're looking at can provide. So those facilities, those nursing homes and assisted living, will talk through these items with you, whether you are looking for yourself or looking for a loved one.
Okay, that's really interesting, because I had my grandfather at one point. He's an amputee, and then he has like heart issues and other issues as well. And my uncle was thinking about putting him in a nursing home, and I was like, nope, I'm definitely not. You know, I was definitely not for it. So I think that my next question would be like, what would be some of the common reasons why a loved one or even a person would consider either going into a nursing home or a assisted living facility, such as like, would it be like loss of a spouse or just like with my family, because I was willing to step up and help my grandfather. So I go out and I check on him a few times a week because he's pretty independent. But it was just little things that he needed help with, like getting back and forth to dialysis. So would it be not having the family help or not having anyone in their family to step up, or maybe not having any family at all, or loss of a spouse? Or what are some of the common reasons why someone would go into an assisted living facility or a nursing home?
First off, we are all caregivers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you helping a loved one, we're family members just as much as myself and our staff members. We're all caregivers.
Yeah.
I think you have to weigh people's needs on what you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are an at-home caregiver, you can only do so much. You can only use the resources you have available in your home. You can only do so much you yourself as one person on a 24-hour. This is not a part-time job being a caregiver. It's a 24-hour job.
Yeah.
So you have to consider, what can you do at home? And that's, you know, those are the things being a caregiver. You see that I need more help. That's where, you know, assisted livings can come in. Mm-hmm. Or you say, I need a piece of equipment that I can't afford or do not have or can't fit in my home. That's where an assisted living would come in, or a nursing home, or another form of senior care. You know, there's certain apartment complexes that are set up with congregate housing. Many Catholic charities, senior communities, the senior apartments have congregate housing services. And they provide a certain amount of services. Do they provide the amount of services the assisted livings do? No, but they provide some. So it all depends what you need. So choosing to go into a senior care setting, you have to determine, or you have to look at your personal needs or the personal needs of your loved one.
Right.
And compare that to the services available. You can have services in your home, which can become quite pricey. Hiring somebody to be in your home, you know, someone's salary, buying equipment for your home. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to think of your own time that you're putting into to this, and weigh those options to what else is available.
Yes.
Whether it is an apartment with services at the senior Catholic Charity senior apartments with services, or an assisted living. I think we should all, as we're thinking about this from a home caregiver standpoint, from a family member standpoint, you also have to remember to look after yourself. When you're taking care of other people, sometimes people forget to take care of themselves. Yeah. And I think that is something that you must consider and think about is that, you know, you have to take care of yourself, and the other services that our communities offer, assisted living, congregate services, senior communities, they nursing homes, they help out with that. And adult day services. I forgot to bring that up. Adult day services are also a benefit to not only the elderly resident, but the family member as well. So you have to weigh your options. You have to weigh your options to provide the safest and healthiest care for yourself or your loved one. Something else to consider when thinking of the care side of things would be from a financial basis. I mentioned how home care can be expensive, hiring a nurse in the home, buying equipment. The benefit of an assisted living setting would be those, or at least a Caritas House assisted living, would be that those services are the community. It's you're subsidizing those services. Everybody's sharing the equipment.
Right.
There is a nurse taking care of multiple people, so the price is it does not cost as much. It's a more efficient way of operating. So you think if you're comparing, you know, one to the other, you know, think about that, comparing those direct services. And also your financial ability to pay. If there is assisted livings like Caritas that are accept Medicaid waiver, certain senior communities with their congregate housing, the community Medicaid waiver, they can help coordinate those services. In a nursing home, they accept Medicaid if somebody does not have the funds to pay privately. If you do have the funds to pay privately, you have to look ahead and project and say, how long will my funds help me, give me the care that I need? There are some models of assisted livings and nursing homes that are very expensive. They have a bar and restaurant in them. And they have golf courses on them. They have pools in them. They have whether it's for recreational or therapeutic pools.
Yeah.
So there's many models similar to like all of these services and the housing models that are accessible to every other age group. In senior care, there's different models. So what would you like out of a senior care provider? What can you afford? And also, I think most important, what do you need?
Thank you. Wow. Wow. I know that some seniors have control over how they live, but sometimes asking mom or dad to move can be incredibly hard task for for the children to be like, mom, you know what, I think that it's time that we view a different option. You know, dad's gone or dad is not able to help as much as he used to, and the house isn't really looking great. So how do you have that conversation with your parent or your loved one, your uncle, your aunt, or whoever it is that you're trying to talk to, with the best, like, how do you approach the conversation of, I think it's time for us to transfer you to an assisted living facility or a nursing home?
Well, I think the main thing, the key is to have that conversation. I think that's the biggest step, is just to have the conversation and keep up with the communication. Avoiding the conversation and letting a situation kind of get out of your control is what you want to prevent. So start the conversation and continue that conversation. And when doing so, get your whether it's your mom or a sibling, or a parent or a sibling or a friend that you're helping out, get their input. You know, listen to them. Listen to what they want. If they want to keep their belongings, if they want to keep their dresser and their bed and their belongings, find a apartment. So find a senior apartment or an assisted living or a nursing home that allows you to bring your own items in. If the person wants to be close to a certain family member or friend, if they want to be in a certain area, look and, you know, direct all the attention to that area and finding a community. I'd say just keep up with the communications, start the conversation and keep it up and listen. Because nobody wants to get old and need help. Mm-hmm. We want to ask for help. You know, we want things. We don't want other people to tell us what we need. Yeah. So keeping the other person, the recipient, in the conversation, having them guide the conversation. You can ask the questions, but they can guide you to the answers. Well, I think will be a smoother transition and give that person what they want.
Yes. I know that the conversation I had with my grandfather was extremely short and sweet. It was more so like, dad and I and Uncle Vaughn, we had a conversation, and Uncle Vaughn is thinking about putting you in a nursing home. But dad and I are thinking about just teaming up together because he lives with my father, and my dad's helping you with day-to-day things, and me helping you with, you know, getting to doctor's appointments, maintaining the doctor's appointments, getting you to dialysis, making sure your medication is on track and that you're taking it every day. And he was just like, well, I'm okay with you guys taking care of me. I'm not going in there and just stay home. I'm that old. And I was just like, well, okay. But another question would be, like, for individuals or families that recognize that this is the step that needs to be taken, what would be the first thing that they should do? Should they, like, go out and maybe research, or, you know, call a friend or call a social worker? If they don't know what to do, like, what is the first thing that they should do?
All the things you said is the research that I recommend. That's all research. Getting on the internet and looking at places in a specific area is a start. Calling around to those places, visiting those places, depending on the visitation policies, and then tapping into your community resources. Catholic Charities has a great resource, Answers for the Aging, or it's called AFA. Answers for the Aging takes calls, takes emails, and directs them to the proper kind of routes them to the proper channels, whether to me saying, Tim, there's somebody who's interested in senior care. They're not sure how much care their, you know, their loved one needs. Can you give them a call? And I can discuss, as I'm discussing through these items here with you guys, direct them and give them a sense of, you know, the changes, the difference between the assisted living, difference between a nursing home, difference between a senior community. So so they're great with that. They can direct you, and they're also very knowledgeable. They can give you great advice. Yeah. They're like a social worker, as you know, if you would be talking to a social worker at a nursing home, yeah. They have that same knowledge. These are your options in the Baltimore area. And this is kind of who you want to call. So they're a great resource. And if you do get in touch with a nursing home or an assisted living and you're talking with them, the admissions office and also the social work office, they are both great resources. That's their job at the nursing home and the assisted living to direct people and give people the recommendation on whether it is an admission or a discharge planning. So it's all care coordination. They're great resources.
Thank you. Hey, that's really good. We're gonna circle back to this at the end so we can get some information regarding the AFA for people who are looking currently or might be looking in the next few years or just want to start the conversation. So I know that there are different types of homes, such as private, upscale, and state-owned nursing homes or assisted living facilities. What are some of the differences?
The differences in nursing homes, because as I said in the beginning of our conversation, a lot of nursing homes are very similar, mm-hmm. in the sense that the care the services they provide, nursing homes all operate off of the CMS, the Medicare and Medicaid. Well, really, it's state. But the state and federal regulations, mm-hmm. So they have to meet state and federal regulations. They all nursing homes in Maryland have the same regulations that they follow. So with that, it would be what other additional amenities would you be looking for? What area are you looking? What area is your family? You want to be close to your family. When they get off work, you don't, you know, it's hard for family to be driving around the Baltimore Beltway in traffic. So having a location is key when making the decision. Some of the differences in state, whether it's a state run, where it's, I would answer that with, we are all under the state regulations. Mm-hmm. We're all getting the same guidance. Nursing homes and assisted livings, we all share very similar advocacy groups. We're working with the same surveyors, and you know we're all here to help folks in need, no matter you know what age group.
Yeah.
And with, you know, as we're on the topic of age, nursing homes do not only take care of elderly folks.
Yeah.
There is nursing homes that have all over the state. There's actually a nursing home that is a pediatric nursing home, but it's still it's still considered a nursing home, underregulated. Wow. So. Yeah. But there's the nursing homes in the area, folks that cannot take care of themselves no matter what age they are. And you can look at that. Some nursing homes and communities are senior communities. They have a minimum age of, let's say, 62.
Okay.
And their activities, their approach to care, their setup of the room and of the building is directed towards older folks, folks 65 up. There may be some other nursing homes in the area that they have clients or residents that are in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, and they tailor individualized care. They tailor their activities, their dining preference to folks in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, if that's their average age. So I know that's something that I think about. That's something that my peers at Catholic Charities and on the Jenkins campus think about is, you know, who is your target audience? And you know, really the whole industry, who's your target audience from a, as I said, from activities, from a culinary standpoint, from a facility standpoint, the setup. So there are differences from nursing home to nursing home and assisted living to assisted living. So call, visit, and check. You know, take a tour. Call the admissions department and take a tour.
Wow, that's a lot of information. That pediatric nursing home, I was so shocked. Okay, that's good information to know.
But I found out about it not too long ago, but I found it very interesting that we're all, but again, we're all helping people.
Wow. Yes. Always. I know we talked about finances, but I know that, sorry, some seniors find themselves stuck in a place where they don't have enough money for supportive care, but they can't afford to stay home, and their adult children can't afford to help. What are some ways that they can find just a little bit of money or just a little bit of financial help?
Well, financially, answers for the aging, I would say that is a great resource to start out with, not just from care questions, but financial questions as well. Or something similar to Answers for the Aging. You call Answers for the Aging, you lay out your situation, your care situation, your financial situation, and they'd probably point you in the direction of Medicaid waiver services. Medicaid waiver services, the coordinators manage per county and the cities and the counties, they have different coordinators. I believe the Medicaid waiver just has one number for Maryland that you can call and get signed up on the list and start that process. So Medicaid waiver is one payment option that can then payment assistance that can help you. The VA benefits, if you are a veteran, if your spouse was a veteran, I would call the VA benefits hotline and talk with them. Ask questions. Ask what benefits that you are welcome to or your spouse would be welcome to, and they can guide you in that direction. Also, speaking with, similar to calling AFA, if you are looking to move in anywhere, if you're looking to move into a nursing home or an assisted living, ask the admissions department about these services. They can give you good information and help you start the process for Medicaid or for VA benefits. It is paperwork. Sometimes it's time consuming. So asking the questions and starting sooner than later is a good idea. If you are looking at your bank account and you are thinking, how long can my money keep me receiving services, and you say, you know, in a year I may need some help, well, start looking now. Start, you know, put your name on the Medicaid waiver list now, or start talking to the VA a year ahead of time. And when your year comes up, if you timed it right and if you're lucky, everything will come together at the right time in a year's time. So preparation. And I think preparation is a theme to this whole conversation.
Yeah, I'm definitely noticing that. People, we need to prepare. If you have just the inclination that your family might need help, start preparing as soon as possible. That way you have plenty of time to go over their options and talk about finances. Prepare.
Mm-hmm. Yes, additionally, I'll mention elder attorneys can help as well. If you have, and if whether it's a recommendation, you can ask AFA, you can ask Answers for the Aging for recommendations for elder attorneys. Elder attorneys can help you out with checking off this checklist. And one thing we haven't talked about yet is power of attorney and advanced directives. Mm-hmm. And getting power of attorney and advanced directives in place will also help you if you have, whether it's you are a family member, getting the power of attorney and advanced directives set up for the loved one in need, yeah. or you yourself are preparing and going to identify a family member or a friend to be your power of attorney. All of these things will help you in later down the road. They will help you with managing your bank account or applying for VA or moving into an assisted living. They're all things, I recommend doing: power of attorney, advanced directives, and preparing from a financial and from a care planning standpoint.
Thank you. Okay. I know we've talked about a lot of what are reasons to move into supportive care, but I kind of want to talk about some of the reasons why you could decide, or a loved one would decide, against moving into supportive care.
Against moving into supportive care, senior care, would be personal preference. Mm-hmm. I've had folks move in, staying at, whether it's, nursing homes or assisted living. I've talked to folks that have tried it out. Moving into a nursing home and assisted living or a senior community, there's a lot of the times people enjoy it. A lot of our residents move in and make friends mm-hmm. with the staff members. Yeah, they make friends with the other residents. They enjoy our gardening. They enjoy the chapel here on the Jenkins campus, and they enjoy being here. They enjoy it more than being home alone. So there are a lot of benefits, but at the same time, there's some people who have tried it out and say, I would rather be at home with my family. I would rather pay that extra money to be at home.
Yeah.
And from a back to finances, mm-hmm. it's probably going, in most cases, it's more expensive because you are at home, you're paying all of these services just for yourself.
Yeah.
Where in a community, you're getting the same services, but you're sharing them amongst, a few or many people, and mm-hmm. it's a lower cost. So it's a more efficient approach to the care. So that's kind of really all I can think about. That is your personal, your personal preference. And, I think it is a fair decision. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do that. You just have to go back to the drawing board and weigh the options. Can you pay for it? Do you have the support structure at home, or do you have the support structure not to move into, the alternative, whatever the alternative may be.
So, thank you. And I think that
there's something different for everybody. There's many options out there.
I think it goes back to what you said about planning. Definitely if we sit and we plan with our parents, like, what are the financial ramifications? What about the social part, the economical part, the emotional part, just being away from your family? I know that we all want to have like that Golden Girls moment where you rent a room and it's three other women, and some of you might have relationships and you partner up, but you can also do that in an assisted living or nursing home or senior care setting. So I definitely understand the point of just circling back to preparing. Prepare, people. I cannot stress that enough. So when you're looking in an environment like senior care, what are the non-negotiable things that everyone should look for when trying to find the perfect place for my loved one or even for myself?
The communication from the care team, I think that's very important. You mm-hmm. want to, whether you're, you know, it's you yourself or a family member, you got to have, that care planning communication and the care planning, of course. The team members, I think rehab services are, I used to work in the rehab department.
Yeah.
Rehab services and exercise. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to stay busy, to burn off energy, to work on yourself. Mm-hmm. The rehab department and a rehab program is something that I think is evolving in the senior care world. Used to be, or at least myself, I used to think of it as if somebody has a hip replacement, then they get rehab.
Yeah.
Why do they need a hip replacement to get rehab? Maybe you should, at any point in your life, you can kind of look at yourself and say, I would like to get better at walking. Mm-hmm. I would like to get stronger. And this is any age group, it's not just folks in senior care, but I think that's important, whether it's a whole community or a assisted living or a nursing home and rehab, to make sure there's an exercise facility, there's a rehab facility for you, because that's a part of your future. Your physical ability is a part of your future. Other non-negotiable, it's the basics. Good dining services helps. good food. But in my mind, the care comes first, and that's my first thought.
Yeah. I know that, I think it would be great, just a little advice, just to talk to some people, maybe talk to a few people that's already there, ask them a few questions like, how do you like it here? Is it really nice? Are the people nice? Because the people know. I know that, you can look on Google and look at reviews. I've been tricked by Google reviews one time. I'd rather just talk to the people and ask the people, like, mm-hmm. how is it here? How do they take care of you? What about the recreational part? Like, how is that? Because some people really rely on just the social aspect mm-hmm. of senior living to determine, like, because they can have everything, they can have their finances in order. They've already made the decision, but it's definitely the social aspect too, because you're older and you want to still be friends with somebody again, like, say, having the Golden Girl moment, meeting a few friends, having fun, you guys just chilling out, whether your children come visit you once a week or once a month, you still have that camaraderie amongst the people that you live with. So definitely ask around. So to close out, what are some other things that we should know about senior care and senior living? And also, if you can just give us maybe the website to answers for the aging for our listening viewers out there.
So a little bit about senior care, assisted living, nursing homes, just for everybody to know. If you're just getting started, it's new. You know, as I said, remember that. It's a new chapter in your life, whether you are the person moving in or the person helping a loved one move in. It's a new chapter for your life. It's okay to be nervous.
Yeah.
It's okay to be unsure. Asking questions and preparing will answer those questions, will make those feelings better. You know, you make a home out of, you know, the residents here, the staff members. We make a, you know, this is our home.
Yeah.
I think preparing is the best medicine for that. Preparing and asking the questions.
Yeah.
And if you need, whether it's a need or a want, you know, because there are a lot of benefits to senior care communities. You know, they have fun services.
Yeah.
There are very nice senior care communities, apartment complexes,
yeah,
and campuses. They are not, you know, kind of boring old buildings. They have great technology, and a lot of them have great services, which I think you'll find out also. So, you know, if you're kind of on the edge and you need something, you know, take the step and find out. So I think making those calls, taking tours, talking to people, will help you make the decision and turn that new page.
Yeah.
And so with Answers for the Aging, which is a great resource, also known as AFA, the phone number for Answers for the Aging is 667-600-2100. And again, that's Answers for the Aging, 667-600-2100. Or the email address is afa@cc-md.org. And you can visit the Catholic Charities of Baltimore website and find the AFA information.
Thank you. I know I had to take a mental note, like, just in case I need it in the next few months or whenever my grandfather decides that it's time. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank you again, Mr. Townshare. He, again, is the assistant administrator of the Caritas House, and for taking the time to speak with me today about senior care and senior living. This was really a great opportunity for me to learn a lot, because just talking to you, I realized I didn't know very much. Like, I knew a little bit, but not as much as I learned today. So I just want to thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody out there for listening. I hope that you have learned some vital information to share with your loved ones. I know that I've learned many things, and I hope that you stay tuned to more topics on senior care this week. Be sure to check them out. Be safe and have a wonderful day. Goodbye, everybody.